Forever Dog.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Oh, ooh. It's me, dropped in, Matt.
I'm so dropped in.
Is it because we each had an alcoholic beverage at a brunch?
Oh, well, that's worn the hell off since.
Well, you know what I did?
I sobered up real good.
What made you sober up?
Well,
just the day?
Just the day.
I had a cold brew right after.
And, well, that was just a hat on top of a hat.
So you're one way, then you swing the other way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I had the most delicious brunch, and I want to put this place on the map because our guest today,
uh-huh,
and the two of us, and friend of the show, one would even say best friend of the show, Sudie Green, we have a brunch spot.
Well, it's a franchise. It's a little chain all over the city.
Imagine referring to this full chain as like our private brunch spot.
A very popular restaurant in New York City.
Sweet Chick.
Sweet Chick.
We love going there.
We love going to Sweet Chick. There's a location in Williamsburg. There's a location in Lower East Side, in Park Slope.
Mm.
And Matt just unbuttoned his shirt for it. Oh my God.
I popped a button.
Ooh.
I thought today we had hot waiters.
We had very sexy staff.
We had sexy staff.
You know.
And then one of the bus boys recognized our own Bowen.
Oh, it was lovely, lovely.
And he said,
fun.
You are very funny.
He was very sweet. God, just, I love some good-looking people serving me food.
Yeah, that's
if,
a thing.
And if you look bad, I'm sorry.
You can't.
I don't care.
Don't touch my food if you look bad. If you look bad, honey.
Honey.
Get your digits away from my chicken.
Of course, this is all a joke.
No, it is. No, it's a joke. Yeah.
It's a joke.
You can feed me if you look like what? I don't care what you look like.
Oh, if you look like what?
You can look like what?
You can look like what, and I'll still take it.
I would eat any food off our guest.
Really? Any food? Because you know what? It would be clean.
Clean, it would smell good.
It would smell good.
And I know that it would be like sourced from the finest places.
Well, it would just, you would just, you and know how you, it's like, you know how you go to a clothing store.
Yeah, I know how that.
And you're just like, God, I can feel the artistry that went into this mass produced sweater.
Yeah.
Not that, I just think our guest is putting care into everything that she puts out there.
100%. And can I tell you something that I realized the other day?
Yes.
Me and our guest.
Yes.
Have made out.
What?
We have made out.
What are you talking about?
Our guests and I.
Oh my God.
We made out on the set.
Oh, you
we
did.
We had to do a
Snapchat thing.
No, it was a pilot presentation.
Oh.
And we played two detectives. Oh, the tension was so thick in the scene, and we made out over a dead body.
Okay, we have to talk about you playing straight. I love this.
What, you don't think I'm capable?
No, I think you're so... I truly, Sudie and I have conversations where, like, Matt is so lucky because he can convincingly play straight.
You're saying, I have yet another privilege, which
you,
is passing.
Absolutely. You can pass, and that is gorgeous, and...
It's so funny to think of me as someone who can pass because I find myself
but you can
I find
pass.
Myself very gay.
You can but you you are very good at you have the ability to gracefully code switch and go back to Long Island and be like fucking
what's up, brother? How's it going?
And to talk to, let's say, and we love Ken. You know?
Oh, yeah, totally. No, but I don't talk to Ken like this.
But you
I talk to Ken like myself.
You could talk to Ken like the way you were just talking.
Well, if I were to talk to him like this right now, like he'd be like, truly, what the hell is going on? But,
yes.
But
okay, even
to be
this
honest
is,
with you.
You're even doing like, you're performing it too much.
What?
You could just split the difference and like be like, oh, you pass as, just no one would clock that anything happening unusually. Because now you're just doing like masks drag. You're doing like Zac Efron's Vogue 72 questions. Like, you know.
No.
Fully
from acting. I don't think that's what I'm doing, but whatever, dude.
We got to talk about
it. Anyway, I fucking love Zac Efron, though. He's macho. Did you see Greatest Showman? I would never ordinarily see that, but my girlfriend really wanted to go.
So anyway.
So we definitely had a good time.
It
was mad good. And I like you, Jacqueline. You can sing or whatever, but I still like him in movies.
We were talking about our guest, and it became this just crazy.
Sorry to co-opt the narrative. I know that straight guys like me shouldn't be doing that.
And you might as well be. You might as well be, because you can pass, and that's a privilege. And
why don't you try to pass right now?
No.
Why?
Because
you're already white.
It's humiliating.
Why not be straight?
All right. If for people listening, one of the recurring narratives that's happening right now on Los Culturistas is that Matt...
Bowen's white.
Is that Matt is accusing me of being...
I'm not accusing you. I'm revealing that you are
now
white.
No, he's vituperatively accusing me of being white. What? YT?
You are YT.
Oh, YT.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that's white. It's an abbreviation for white. Stupid bitch.
Anyway, this isn't about you. You've really co-opted the narrative.
Oh, my God. And I co-opt the narrative as a white person. Our guest is fantastic. Stunning. Stunning, wonderful comedian. Actress!
I think, I think the best actress of all the comedians
absolutely,
in New York.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would say.
Stage, screen, the whole fucking deal.
Pasek and Platt.
Pasek and Platt.
Some of my favorite sketch comedy.
Star of
comes
Joe's,
from them.
A new star of Joe's Pub. Mm-hmm. The public.
Yes, and Ben Brantley gave her a standout review.
And if Ben Brantley likes you, then that's
then
everything.
It's actually rule of culture number 11. If Ben Brantley likes you, then
that's
everything. Hang it up, honey.
Hang it up. Frame it. And she will have just finished a lovely, lovely run in Munich for the Radical Youth Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yes, honey.
And we love her so much. Welcome.
And you can follow
the
person at Mo Pass, and that's at MEAUXPAS. And there are always entertaining Insta stories.
It's a play on faux pas, Mo Pas. There you go. So please welcome to your ears our guest,
Mo Fry Passing.
Heal me.
Would you heal me? Wow, thank you, because
thank
that's
you.
One of the underrated songs.
It's so
oh my God,
good.
It's so underrated. You guys, okay, well, a couple of things to address.
First, yeah. Okay. First of all, right
first of all, the only thing that will be eaten off my body is from per se.
Oh!
Per se.
Per se.
Famously good restaurant in Lincoln Center?
Girl, I don't know. I just heard of it.
People just know about per se. I don't even know where the fuck
it's
it is.
It's a reference
either.
For me. It's not an experience.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm not there yet.
I got it. I love that. It's a reference, not an experience.
Yeah. And second of all, vituperatively?
Vituperative.
Oh my God. You said that and I like, oh, like my tummy dropped. I was like a power.
Just
you know,
like, yeah. Just like a like aggressive, like toxic, noxious.
I love when you say a
wait,
good word.
That's what that means? Vituperative means aggressive and toxic?
Vituperative just means like just with like bile, just like you're white, like that's what you're doing to me.
I vituperatively have been calling Bowen Yang white.
White, mm-hmm. Yes.
This is
yes.
Really good. When you say a word, I like look it up and I'm like, I'm gonna use that.
Yeah.
And then I don't good. And then I stop using my own words. And they're words that I invent, of course.
Yeah.
Mo,
this has been a very long time coming for you to be on.
Yes.
Girl, I'm so happy to see you two doing your thing in the studio in real life, because you are famously my sisters.
Sisters
have been for a lifetime.
We are we sisters. And we are part of the Upstate Five.
The Upstate Five. I love the occasional like slight reference. Like, well, when we went
upstate.
And everyone gets chills.
And had our experience. And of course, one of the most iconic stories of the past year for me was when we were sitting under the tree on acid.
Oh my
and
God.
Mo Fry Passing,
yes.
Who was the only sober one there, said, okay, so here's what's happening. The spider right there is a brown recluse.
My name has been slandered. Okay, here's the thing.
Explain yourself.
Okay,
I will. Okay. You know what? So, first of all, they are not indigenous to upstate New York. However, they are there.
I believe you that they're there.
They're a poison. You would claim that they are a very poisonous spider?
And here's what I would claim. I'm not going to hold myself to the identification of a brown recluse. But I will say that fucking spider.
Was a brown recluse?
It was fucking 8 feet tall.
It was very,
it was very
big. It was so big. And like, it was so scary. And it was like underneath. And it was just like ready to, like, we were all like, you looked like, in like Blue Is the Warmest Color, you know, when she's like laying down, or like in Boyhood,
yeah.
When like laying down,
yes,
the grass,
yes,
so
much
serene.
Yes. Yeah.
And all of you looked like so like with the earth. And I didn't want that moment to be like all of a sudden like Enya's like, who can say where the time goes? And then we all die, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want that.
But you calmly saved our lives in that moment.
That was really calm, yeah.
That was very calm of you. And I am truly, I thank the universe every day for how...
Universe.
I love you.
For how wonderful you were during that whole experience and how you shepherded us.
That's really nice.
That
Thank
spider
you.
Was amongst the largest things I've ever seen.
Amongst the largest.
It was very big. Largest.
It was a good girl.
Are you like an insect person?
Here's my thing.
Wisconsin?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
I grew up, I worked on farms, which is crazy. And it's like, I'm so pretty, people don't know it.
yes.
And true. So I would like I was like a kid that was like the kid that would like be muddy. And you're like, why? And I was like, I just played, like I would catch snakes in the backyard. And it's like so weird because I lived in Madison, but all my like relatives lived up north where you could just get lost in like the wood acres forever.
Yes.
Yeah. It was the best.
Yeah. Cool,
but yeah.
Were you a kid that often got stung by shit or bitten by things?
Oh.
If I was, it didn't affect me. Like, I definitely have had quite a few bee and like bites in my life, mm-hmm. but it'd be the kind of situation where it's like, my full name, insider secret, is my full name is Morgan.
Morgan?
Yes.
Little industry for you.
Only five people know that.
Yeah.
Thank
and
you.
Now thousands.
They are technically the Upstate Five.
Yeah. Upstate Five, yes.
We only wait.
Upstate Five, my proxy.
No, the secret.
The act. So, I know, have you seen that?
The secret? No, wait, what?
Oh, never mind. I was referring to the act where King plays Gypsy Rose, and she's like, with Patricia Arquette, and it's like a
right. Yes, it's on
a
Hulu.
Patricia Arquette vehicle. But
wait. It's called The Act.
It's called The Act. Patricia Arquette,
and it's a Patricia Arquette vehicle because I'm very into Patricia Arquette.
It's basically Gypsy, but with a kid who is sick.
So no, it's Gypsy. It's the Gypsy Rose story.
Oh, it's the Gypsy Rose. It's literally Gypsy Rose.
It is.
Story?
It's shot for shot. God. And then like Joey King is like, Mom, I'd love to go to the movies today. And you're like, whoa, damn, her voice is so low in person. I'm like, come on, voiceover work.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, wow.
I'm a Patricia Arquette fan.
I will say I don't keep a thought going straight, so I don't remember what we were talking about before.
We were talking about
being bitten and sucked on by insects.
Oh yeah, like it would be like, Morgan, what's that? And I would like have a huge rash. I'm like, I don't know, I'm just going to play.
Yeah. Well, so you were an outside girl.
You were an outside girl.
I rode horses. I like we had like sheep, and we didn't our house, but we'd like stay and like babysit our friends' sheep, and like it was.
Wow.
It's cool.
An outside kid.
I was not an outside kid.
Really?
Not. I read and I played video games.
I emotionally identify as an indoor kid.
Mm-hmm. But in reality, you were an outside kid, sun, indoor kid, moon.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Oh, my God. See, okay, here's the thing. Bowen Yang famously drags astrology.
But, okay, we talked about this with Ruby McCollister.
Ruby McCollister was just on. We had a whole astrology thing.
Tenderly creeps towards it. You are now.
I'm starting to creep towards it in a fun way. I'm not fully... With what?
With affection.
With affection and not total rejection. Mm-hmm. I used to just reject it completely. Yeah. And now I'm just like, oh, this is fun. This is fun. It's fun to project these certain things onto what this could mean and what my transits are.
Mm-hmm.
And
transits
like,
are a lot to learn.
Yes.
Well, Ruby said that it's very Scorpio to be rejecting astrology.
Very.
At first.
And why? Because I've heard this from so many people and I don't
know
why.
Well, we should ask Mo.
Mo,
what is it about Scorpios?
If you have an answer.
I would say Scorpios, what they are is they're very protective of themselves, and also they're very they want to learn experientially. So like they don't immediately trust you on your word, right?
Oh.
So if you tell them something about themselves, they're like, sure, I'm sure you think that. And it's like they won't believe that until they've experienced proof for themselves.
Mm. I see.
Because it is very mysterious, closed off, solo sort of experience intensity.
Uh-huh.
So if someone's telling you like, that's so Scorpio, you're like, well, don't put me in a box and you don't know me. So like it's that sort of energy.
But
you would never combat that way. That's internal. Because Scorpios aren't about to waste their time fucking explaining that to someone.
You know what? That really reads. Not going to waste their time on conflicts they think are beneath them.
Very much so.
Whereas you and I, vituperatively saying that.
Yes.
Whereas you and I are Pisces.
Yes.
And that makes us
emotional,
sort of like emotion.
You know what I'll say is that the manifestation of a Pisces is very dependent on their moon and rising, because Pisces are the 12th sign, so they technically embody all the signs.
Oh.
So it's like the oldest sign. Aries is the first or the youngest. They're more hot headed. Whereas like Pisces is 12th. They're more universal. And so the idea of this Pisces takes on identities really well and can move through other people's emotions.
Can pass it straight.
Oh my God.
Pisces can pass. And so would you say that Pisces are often empathetic?
Well, yeah, it's one of their traits.
It's one of the things.
It's sometimes debilitating, I will say that. Especially for you, who is a rising Cancer Pisces moon, is it?
I am all water. Yeah. I'm water.
No, you're Cancer moon Pisces rising.
Yes, okay. I am.
And so for you, it is also very hard for you to look at something objectively because you are deep in the emotions of it. So factually and objectively looking at something, you're like, but that's, but it doesn't matter what the facts are. I feel this way. Like, AKA, I don't know my words, but I know my heart. You know?
Oh my God. And Mo is tying it back to.
Well, all coming back. It's all coming back to me now.
There were moments of gold and there were flashes of light. Wow.
Oh.
There were things I'd never do again.
But then they'd always.
But then they always seemed right. That is a very Pisces song.
Sure.
And it's because it's so emotional and big. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree, yeah.
That song paints with a very emotional brush.
It's like, you know what it is? It's a brush that you painted before, then you didn't clean, then it got hard, and you're like, it's okay. And then you like tried to soften it again, and then you painted it. Like,
oh my God.
That is psychic. That is psychic.
Psychic. Mel, what are your rising and moon signs?
Okay.
Because you are the astrology queen.
Come on.
I mean, here's my thing. The fun thing about this is like I never like sought out astrology. I just like it just like it. It interests me. Yeah, and over the years, I've gotten a lot of info. Yeah. I am a Libra moon, like our fellow podcaster, Bowen.
Yes.
I am a Libra moon and I am a Cancer rising. Mm-hmm. So internally, which is the moon.
Wait, I lied.
You stupid bitch. I got it. You lied twice.
I got my...
Your
no.
ass said you were a Gemini moon, and I was like, uh-oh, scary. And then you were like, JK,
little
Libra.
White lies.
I got my moon and risings fucked up.
This is
so,
fucking psychotic. Okay, I'm so upset
Libra
with you right
now. Rising.
Okay, well, fashion.
Score. And then Gemini moon.
You are a Gemini moon, bitch. You okay. dumb.
Which
dumb,
is very Gemini
bitch.
Moon of me to lie, I guess.
No. It's not Gemini moon of me to lie.
Okay, but sorry, I cut you off. Okay, so that's just my chart. But you talk about you because we're on you.
But your moon's in the ninth house, which I'll say is like Sagittarian. So you're very like teacher, you know, learning, adventure, expansive, spiritual.
Okay.
Like as far as your moon and how you process emotions.
Yes. Okay, and Mo's looking at my chart right now on CoStar.
You just had your chart like ready to go pulled
it's
up?
It's on the app.
It's on the app.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I need to get this app. Yeah. Is it this is the thing, Mo. I will say this. I probably like a lot of the listeners with astrology, and I know you because I was first to come around to this, what's and now Gemini? Bowen has come around to it, and Sudi, I don't think will ever come around
to
astrology.
She'll have her moments.
She'll have her moments.
She will. She has.
She and I wrote a whole sketch about astrology.
It warmed my heart. I got to watch it.
You got to watch it?
Yeah,
oh, great.
It warmed my heart.
It got cut for time.
But it's great that Mo got to watch it.
Mo got to watch it.
It had an audience.
It felt important to me.
It felt important to you. It was nice.
But
we were very reductive with it.
I loved it.
Because it was Don Cheadle and
he
Cecily.
He was so good. He was like so on board and he was just like, your Mars must be in Sagittarius. And I was like, you're so happy.
He was truly the best and I love him.
And it was an astrology sketch featuring Don Cheadle.
So it was...
what was it? Explain for the listeners because they'll never know.
It takes place in a veterinary office and Cecily and Don and Heidi play the receptionist.
Okay.
And they're all like... And they're like calling up these dogs and these cats and these lizards with their owners and they're like, ooh, look at peep the chart. Ooh, that is a Gemini iguana. Get her out of here. Like that kind of
thing.
Were
there live animals in the sketch?
There were live animals in the sketch.
Live animals.
Pete had to hold a giant lizard and he was very scared. And I talked Pete down.
He was scared to hold the lizard.
He was scared to hold the lizard.
Lizards are pointy. I get that.
Lizards are pointy. And
I don't trust almost nearly any animals.
Nearly any.
You don't trust animals?
You like dogs.
Really. I really enjoy domestic dogs, not
maybe
wild.
Because you know their power and you respect that.
I would say I know their power to be unpredictable. There is a dog in the writer's room at the other two whose name is Gus. It's Kristen Buckles' dog.
Yeah, I'm obsessed
dog.
With that one.
Kristen Buckles' dog, Gus, is important to me.
Oh,
and
Gus,
that dog and I have a deep connection and I post about the dog
that's
frequently.
That's spicy.
And the Gus of it all has really kind of taken over my life. In fact, I feel a connection to him so much so that when I walk into the room, often the dog will run up to me, very excited to see me. And it doesn't do that with everyone else.
That's a powerful moment. That's always my dream is like, I want people's dogs to like me better than them.
Yes.
I get it.
I'm like, oh gosh, so sorry. Like I don't want people like something I wouldn't hate if a kid like cried if it was taken away from me, you know? But I don't want to hold it too long.
Right, right, right.
You came home with me for Thanksgiving.
I was the best.
So Chelsea right. Stand-in was Mo.
Yes,
and it
I
was
heard
me.
You were a hit.
You were a huge hit. In fact, when I told them today, I spoke with them this morning.
Oh, tell them
And they said happy Easter, because today is Easter. We're recording on Easter, and they wanted to wish you happy Easter. And they said that it wasn't, it didn't feel right having a holiday without you.
Oh my God. That's what they said. Let me tell you, experiencing Thanksgiving at the Rogers, it was home.
We had a really nice, good time.
It had, like, you know, the feeling of home. Like, it was that. It was so wonderful.
It was really nice.
Oh my gosh. We just, like, couldn't stop talking, all of us. It was the best.
We had a really good time. And also, Mo had a really great connection with Bailey, my dog.
We had an intense connection. And Bailey got a jacket that day. That was huge.
Bailey wears a stress coat because Bailey's a very stressed out dog.
Gets very stressed out.
And Bailey...
I love Bailey, though.
Bailey is one of the top dogs.
Bailey is so crazy.
I love your family on Instagram.
They never did Facebook, but they like Insta.
And they're stars on Insta.
They're stars on Insta. My dad always has a caption.
Amazing posts. Amazing posts.
Great posts. There's a really good picture of my mom holding Bailey with her wind in her hair that my dad took on Insta. And I'm like, they can do Insta well.
They can do Insta. They know how to do it.
Because it's a visual medium.
My dad is like... he's just like a mathematician genius and like a surgeon, and like he embodies that, but he's very dry in his humor. Uh-huh. And his entire Instagram is pictures of equational days, which is when the date makes an equation.
Oh my God.
It's so funny. It's the most just like, I'm like, speak of, he's Virgo rising, which is, anyone listening, is it's a very Virgo thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
him and Beyonce,
to have a branded Insta.
I mean, truly just to have like a methodical, cleaned up, like specific Insta that's like, this is my like identity. It's like awesome.
Wow.
I love it. It's the best.
Now let's get back to this. Okay, so I'm sorry. You said you're a Libra.
Libra
moon.
Cancer rising. So your moon is how you like, I don't know if Ruby went over this with you, but you process emotions. It's internal. So what they say is when you feel most yourself, like when you're alone, it's your moon sign that you feel like. So when someone's coming at you with like, you're a Scorpio, you must be so mysterious and watery. You're like, I'm actually not that emotional. And then people are like, no, you're lying to yourself. You're like, no, I'm a Gemini moon. Like I take, if your feelings don't make sense, I don't like them. You know, like, it's just like that sort of thing. And so I think there is a lot of value in investing in your moon and rising.
Is there a sign that I as a Pisces and you as a Pisces need to watch out for?
Here's what I'll say. I don't think.
And I think that there is an answer, by the way, you're answering so far. I think you're going to be scared to say. But I think that there is a sign that I need to be watching out
for. Listen, bitch. I'm Venus in Aries, Mars in Gemini. I'm scared to say nothing. So,
oh my God.
So what I'll say is, I personally don't like in a chart any concentration of one sign, which is also called a stellium, which is just like
a stellium.
To me, I need someone who's has more balance and flexibility, aka mutable signs or cardinal signs. I'm like, if someone has a ton of fixed, just not for me. Mm-hmm. I love that about them, and that's attractive.
What does that mean, a ton of fixed?
Like, fixed signs are like, I believe they're like, God, like Aquarius, Leo, and one other.
And what does it mean like, to be a fixed sign?
It's similar to the ideas of like, you're more mutable, you're more fixed, like, you know, you're more steadfast, you're
you are who you are type thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not malleable.
Yeah, mutable, you're more just like, sure, both things could be true.
Mm-hmm.
And cardinal is like more just like, I like cardinal. They're Libra, Aries, and Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And... they're just more, I don't know, to me, it's more like the adult perspective of everything. It's like, well, both could be true, but I'm going to choose this.
And Scorpio is fixed.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I have a lot of one sign in my chart, which makes me feel like you feel afraid of me.
Stellium.
I'm afraid of you?
Yeah. You fear me. You fear me and my Pisces.
You're right,
Pisces.
Babe. I fear your power and I fear how wonderful and large you're going to be because, bitch, you're going to be huge.
Girlfriend. Do you think that I should and need to marry a Virgo?
Okay. Here's what I'll say.
I've been told.
I know. You've been repeating it.
But that's because I'm desperate to find someone. And on What's Your Sign, shout out to What's Your Sign Pod
and
those girls.
I love Julia and all them, Stevie. They're great.
Yeah. And they said, I'll marry a Virgo. What say you?
What say me is that, you know, not everybody is their emotional heightened version of their signs. There are low and evolved, like, you know, there's two aspects. So what I'll say is you can marry someone with a Virgo fucking Mars and Venus. They don't have to be a Virgo sun. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, not
as
really.
As long as they have a Virgo in the chart.
But so what you're saying is I'm taking it too seriously.
I think your attachment to needing an answer is blocking it from coming in.
Oh, my God. There it is. My attachment to needing an answer is blocking it from coming in. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Nice.
And this is a classic thing in therapy. This is a classic thing in therapy that my therapist is like, there's you are obsessed with thinking about things in terms of a right way and a wrong thing mm-hmm. to handle mm-hmm. something, and you should stop doing that.
There's this Egyptian goddess called Bast. It's like the goddess of cats, but she's also the goddess of fairness. And the idea of fairness to her is not right or wrong, but a favorable outcome for all. And so it's about really releasing what you believe justice is and separating the difference between fairness and justice.
Oh,
wow.
That's gorgeous.
It's hard. It's a hard lesson to learn in life.
Okay.
Because we get really ingrained and we hold these certain, you know, injustices as offenses to our identity mm-hmm. instead of realizing that there is just like one step outside the situation.
I see.
Wow. I want to talk about this. Mo taught me this thing called bottom beliefs mm-hmm. that I just really want to quickly talk about before we ask the question.
Yeah, no, I don't even know what bottom beliefs is. So this explain it to me like an idiot.
Okay, this is I'm going to do
and the listeners too.
I'm going to do the dumb idiot explanation, and then Mo's going to actually expound. Like fill in the blanks.
I need the idiot one too. Bottom beliefs. What I talk about all mm-hmm. the time.
Bottom beliefs. You name a belief that you have about something.
Okay.
Usually, and it's helpful if it's a destructive belief or if it's a belief that's like sort of holding you back in some way.
Okay.
Like I'll say like, I believe that the gay, like this is something that I've gotten over recently that mm-hmm. I've made progress on. I believe that the gay community is racist towards Asians.
Okay.
And then you get to the bottom, you just basically keep bottoming out and nesting that belief. Well, why do you think that? Because I think, that Asians are like Asian males are sort of emasculated in Western culture. Well, why do you believe that? Because I believe mm-hmm. that we value European standards of beauty. Well, why do you believe that? Because and then you just keep basically digging to the bottom of until mm-hmm. you can't explain it away anymore. That's kind of a crazy example, but like
what's the value in this?
Is just to like get to the root of why
you think that
like what this belief is, and then you just realize that like, and this is something I've told you mm-hmm. is that, and I've talked about probably on some other episodes, is that like any destructive belief is just a string of words, and language is just a way to contain a concept that otherwise would not even exist mentally, like in our thought,
right?
In our thoughts, basically, like we wouldn't think about, you know, let's say I wouldn't think about being gay if the word gay
didn't exist
to contain that whole experience.
Yeah.
So like that's like the only real thing is numbers. And upstate.
Yeah, you have said this before.
Upstate 5, the only real thing is numbers. And both times I've tripped on acid, that's been the thing. The only real thing is numbers. Henry Kapersky also says the same thing.
He says the only real thing is numbers?
Is numbers.
But when I had a special moment where he was talking about like prime
numbers.
And then we were like, you're in your prime. When you're winning with your in alignment, you're in your prime.
You're in your prime, and a prime number is only whole within itself. And that's the whole meaning of it. And so anyway, and you're basically doing that with bottom beliefs, is you're basically dividing a thought, mm-hmm. a belief into itself until you cannot reduce it to whatever its whole is.
Bone did an amazing job describing.
I don't know. But you go.
Really did. The idea is, you know, especially if you have trauma, and I believe all of us in the queer community have trauma, even if you don't want to identify as, you know, having done that, it's just like you're already at a deficit, and I don't mean that in a, you know.
No, I get it.
So what I'll say is what happens then is a lot of beliefs come from one bottom belief. So it's like, say your bottom belief is I'm unworthy of love, right? Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. you might not realize that that's the bottom belief because there's all these other things floating around of just guys don't like me, or I'm too much, I'm annoying, or I'm embarrassing, or I talked too much. And all these little chatters, right, mm-hmm. are little like stems off this one bottom fucking belief. So you can deal with the fact that you're an embarrassment or whatever. It's like because you're not, right? Even though that thought bubbles up.
Yes.
But you're still not addressing the root problem at the bottom.
Yes.
So what happens is a new one grows. Mm-hmm. And so you can like try and like get through it, but uh-huh. you don't. So this really helped me when I was processing a lot of trauma because I would get really anxious and really embarrassed about something. And, you know, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd be like, oh my God, I was the worst person alive. I'd find new friends. I'm so embarrassing. I'm the worst person alive. It's like, okay. So it's, you know, who, what, where, when, why, or what's the worst thing that would happen about that? Mm-hmm. So it'd be like, oh, well, I'm the worst person alive. Okay. What's the worst part about that? Well, nobody likes me because I'm the worst. Okay, well, why are you the worst? Because I talk too much. Okay, well, what's the worst part about talking too much? That I could annoy someone. Okay, well, what's the worst part about annoying someone? Then they won't love me. Well, why wouldn't they love you? Because I'm unlovable. Whoa! And then you get to this bottom belief of like, shit. And then when I get to the bottom, what I like to do, And a lot of times if you have blocked memories, it doesn't work, but you just have to sit with that feeling of just like, first of all, I feel it in my body. I'm like, okay, is that my tummy? Is that my heart? Like, mm-hmm, where is mm-hmm, that? Mm-hmm. And then I say, do I remember where this started? And you might not. It might go to some weird random like high school memory where like someone rejected you. But like if that's what manifests in your mind, then you like, you sit with that and then you just truly like work through that moment. Maybe you cry, maybe you punch a pillow, but you mm-hmm. release that bottom belief.
Mm-hmm. This has helped you immensely?
Oh my gosh. And it's something simple. And I'm sure there's so many ways in psychology and therapy that it manifests, right? For people to do this. And there's better ways.
But for you.
Yeah, I've really found that like finding a core source of something has cut it off. It's weeding, you know? You have to get the roots.
Yes.
I had like a weird date the other night and the day after I woke up an hour before I usually would and my chest was like I felt so anxious mm-hmm. and I swear to God I did not know why, like it didn't go the way I wanted it to, and I woke up in the morning and it just like the next day I was like I feel horrible, and I literally could not answer the question why. And so that is something I will use from now on, because I had never heard of this. Like I think mm-hmm. conceptually I knew what this was, but that sounds like it would really help.
And bitch, a concept needs a fucking, it's the linguistic thing if you need the word before you, to understand the concept.
It's like, I feel anxious. Like, why do you think you feel anxious? Because I had a date last night that didn't go well. Okay, well, what about it didn't go well? We didn't have sex. Why did you not have sex? Because it didn't feel like there was chemistry there.
Or why are you describing, why are you putting value on the sex?
That's another interesting question. I guess that's another question I have is, it's like, how do you know when you're taking it off track, the bottom beliefs thing? What's the question you're supposed to ask every single time? What's the worst thing about this?
I mean, that helps me. What I'd say is, first of all, especially for you, if you're like already weeding through a lot, I like to feel it in my body, right? Mm-hmm. So then I don't, and very Pisces, but you don't might not have the words, right? So you're like, okay, my tummy hurts. Like, you know, what is that feeling down there? What is that base sacral sort of feeling? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, what do I associate with that? Gut, I trust. Okay, well, I don't trust. Why didn't I trust? You know, you can do that. But when you get to a bottom, it's pretty simple is what mm-hmm. I'd say.
You know what? I just really discovered something about myself even just saying that, which is that I make a lot of things about sex.
Yeah. So like maybe you're like, my value is sex, and that might be your bottom belief.
Yeah.
And that's something that's important for you to work through, and recognizing it is already helping it, you know, mm-hmm, move.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I was talking to you about this, like being like in Los Angeles now in a new city, you're meeting a whole bunch of new like gay mm-hmm. men or people like that you could have relationships with. And something I'm finding is a block is like, I can't get over this thing of like, sometimes the first thing I think when I look at someone is like, am I attracted to them? Are they attracted to me?
Yeah.
Like that is like something that like, I don't know. It's like for some reason, a preoccupying thing. Do you guys have that?
But
you feel that it's different.
Well, it's just different. Like if I were to move to LA, I would meet those people mm-hmm. and I would imagine that the interest wouldn't be, I wouldn't have anything to work off of, and I'd just be like, okay, well, most of these people probably would not want to.
I think everyone's is whatever your wound is. Like mine would be, if I met all these people, I would assume all of them were into me and I would instantly reject them because I don't like that energy. Yeah. So like everyone is sort of filtering through the lens of their trauma, you know?
So that's for you. And for me, it's just, I would meet these people and I'd be like, you're probably not attracted to me.
Mm-hmm. And I think my thing is when I meet these people, I think, well, I don't know. Like it's when you grow up and everyone's like, this is maybe going to be a lot, but when you grow up and you're told like, you're so handsome. Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. this is something that you're given since you're a little kid and you're told to like ascribe value to that. Mm-hmm. And please understand, I know this is like a very privileged and insane thing to say. But then when you get into a community that so obviously prizes like only the top physical specimens, and you've been cultured to believe that your attractiveness is one of the best things about you and like mm-hmm. one of the most important things about you, that could make you feel worthless. And I think that's why like a lot of people who you would think wouldn't necessarily be self-conscious mm-hmm. like at parties, like that warehouse party we went to in LA mm-hmm, mm-hmm. like a lot, I think everyone there is like freaking out, and we would all tell you, like if we were all honest and telling each other like, I'm freaking out, are you freaking out, you'd look at people and be like, you're freaking out, what do mm-hmm. you mean?
Totally.
But it's like, you know, and so I think like something I'm literally discovering like in this, and like I think I knew this, is just I put a lot of importance on like my sexual capital in certain situations because I feel like it's a way in. I don't know. Heady.
Not petty.
That's not petty.
Heady.
Well, I think you have to reprogram a lot of shit. Like,
yeah,
you,
I have to go to therapy big time.
Well, I think, yes, I think you need things. I mean, therapy, right? Like, we do, there's value in breath work. There's value in, you know, exercise. Like, there is things that we do have to do to release these things that we shouldn't have been drilled with. But, you know, like, it is big dog time. You know, you're an adult. It's time to grab that and be like, you know what, bitch? I don't feel good. This doesn't make me feel good.
Like, I left that party and like I think I texted like you and Dave and I was like, is it insane that I just left this place? Like, why would I, do I? And then someone's like, no, when you figure out something is not for you, that's it. Like, you can take yourself out of a situation.
I think I was telling you, I was talking to you from a place of like, I've known this to be true.
Yeah, I think you have.
And it's just like, I was like, I walk into that space and I'm already like, okay, like, this isn't for me. I'm not going to really be, like, this is not a place where I'm going to stand out in any positive way. So I'll just, like, let that go and just, like, buy a fucking huge slice of watermelon and take that into the warehouse and eat watermelon while the lights are strobing.
Yeah.
I had a great time. But it's also, but yeah, I mean, I, but
that, beliefs.
But that is like, but the way that you sort of reckon with that situation is hard and it's tough and I'm sorry.
Do you like do you understand what I'm saying?
I totally get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? It is a huge life lesson to realize that like you don't have to be putting yourself in these situations where you feel judged or inadequate or, you know, not worthy, right?
Yeah.
And you're not anything less for not being in those situations. Mm.
It's an interesting concept, this.
I mean, you know what I say? I think all of the people in our lives and like all the people listening, like all really want a lot for themselves and their lives. But what that means is really facing hard things about yourself head on so you can move through them and be the thing you want to be.
Yes.
And so you guys are doing it.
Or there just has to be this, and I'm not saying that like some people don't have this, but there has to be this recursive thing in you, this mechanism that tells you I should address this and change, because then they're just, because, well, there are some people who don't have that, who do not want to
change,
examine, and that's it. And I literally told you in a bitchy way recently, I was like, well, you should examine this thing about you. And but that's just me saying, like, you know, like,
but it was about this. It was literally about it was, do you know about the former congressman Aaron Schock?
No.
So he was like, he was in Congress.
From Illinois.
He's from Illinois, and he was very anti-gay Republican.
Yes.
But rumors started.
Revolutionary.
Right. So young and, like, conventionally attractive. Yes. In fact, muscular, and was even on the cover of, like, some, like, men's fitness magazines. Yeah.
Gross.
Like, to that extent.
Great.
And he was, like, kind of like a star Republican because he was, like, young and, like, hot and, like, still held their beliefs and stuff.
Got caught accepting bribes. And,
and he had to leave in disgrace.
Decorated his office inspired by Downton Abbey.
And there were started to be rumors about him
being gay.
Oh.
So that has been confirmed. Like, in the past few months, he's just been very out in West Hollywood, like, around. And now he's not in Congress anymore. He's just doing whatever. And, like, he is very much, like, a figure, like, on the scene. And he was at Coachella and pictures of him making out with guys and, like, doing whatever. And, like, very much doing the whole Coachella thing came out. And so all of a sudden, there was all this talk about him again. Meanwhile, he had been, like, on the scene in West Hollywood for months, but the Coachella pictures really made it, like, a viral talking point on Twitter and
but
stuff.
But wait, has this person talked back their rhetoric from...
No,
oh,
not
okay.
at all.
Because that's, like...
So that's what people got mad. They were, like... Okay. They were, like, normally we... Like, all these gay media outlets were, like, normally we would never...
Yeah, we celebrate.
Outing someone.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that is a very personal thing. But for someone who has destructively acted against the queer community.
Yeah. I mean,
like,
yeah.
we have no problem, like, just shining a light on this. And
yeah, because there's a difference between, you know, putting out your internalized misogyny outwardly. Like, that happens. That's unfortunate. It's sad. It's a cycle of abuse. It's a cycle of that.
Yes,
but, like, to gain power and then to use that power against lesser powerfully people.
And then to be, like, basically, I'm going to say, for an important section of the queer community to be accepted and embraced, that's the thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing, is it's like, if he didn't look the way he looked, there wouldn't even be a discussion about,
like,
this.
Larry Craig.
Truly.
Larry 100%. Craig happened. Everyone was like, bye.
Nope, see ya. Yeah.
Everyone.
Yep. And because he
there was no place for him in the gay community. There's a there's a place for Aaron Schock in the gay community.
And that is something I think that, that's I'm almost I'm happy that it's a conversation because I think it's something that the gay community truly needs to discuss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is why we let people like this get away with whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was I was seeing it go viral on Twitter and I almost even tweeted like, why don't we ignore this person actually instead of retweeting this picture? Like mm-hmm. I was like getting annoyed that we were retweeting it so much. I'm like, okay, like we're still circulating like this photo of this person. And then I realized I actually had been following him on Instagram, like unbeknownst to me.
Yes.
And somebody like took a screenshot of the fact that I was following him and posted it online.
Scary.
And Bowen texted me and he was like, are you following Aaron Schock on Instagram? And I was like, no. And then I realized I was, and I was like, oh my God, I am. But I didn't realize. And I unfollowed him immediately, et cetera. And he was like,
I took a moment to be disappointed in my friend.
Sure.
And I was just like, how do I was like, what do I say to like the person I care most about in this whole world?
Yeah.
I was like, how, and it came off in the way that it comes off when I say things sometimes where it was just a little mean and snarky and whatever. I was just like, well, maybe you examine it.
Which I mean is something
this
is the to
examine.
Say. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, I mean, if we even zoom out, like here's what I'll say is this, the gay community is facing this intersectionally, which has been, you know, like, you know, black girls don't get their photo when they're kidnapped, taking. And then you have women who are not pretty enough when they're assaulted that they don't get coverage.
Yes.
And it is like this huge problem where it is like based in like the beauty values of like young straight white cis women.
Yes.
And then like, I feel like that's permeating out and these, it's plying, it's, you know, reacting,
totally,
and all,
totally,
reenacting
totally.
In all these different ways. Yeah, and we all, I don't know. It's just, I'm like, let's all figure it out together.
I know. I think it's like for our, like, I wish it, like, I don't know, wish it could, but like for our community, it presents an interesting topic of conversation. It just, it's honestly going to come down to whether the people that need to change or need to make changes mm-hmm. are going to want to talk about this. Like, are they actually going to want Aaron Schock to not
this
be
is
there?
This is my favorite metaphor of analogy, but similarly. Okay, so this is what I believe with all, like, and I believe we're doing this and we've been doing this, but like with when it comes to activism. Okay, so after, I think it was like, I don't know, the Grammys, Katy Perry was having a party at One Oak. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she was playing horrible music. Mm-hmm. And it was not good music.
Is this J-Lo?
Bitch, it's fucking J-Lo.
Oh my God, Co.
And so, I think I've told you this before.
I love that.
J-Lo arrives with all of her friends, right? Mm-hmm. Music bad, all her friends, you know, it's like the hobnob situation. Like, you want to stay there, you want to see and be seen.
Yes.
And so, J-Lo's like, I'm not having fun. J-Lo doesn't say, everyone, let's go. J-Lo doesn't say, I'm done, let's shut this party down. J-Lo just leaves. And guess what? That confidence, that standing in that, everybody fucking followed J-Lo.
It's okay. I mentioned this on Seat Culture. It's that DEA agent thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is okay. Can I tell you this is a similar
thing?
I'm horny
for a DEA agent.
There's this book that I'm reading now. It's very, I'm recommending it to everyone. I'm telling everyone it's very new age language, but mm-hmm. it's the writer Martha Beck is very self-aware and she's very, she's got solid jokes, mm-hmm. solid ha-has. She can fit into any room.
Solid ha-has.
But she has this DEA agent friend who, instead of kicking down doors in a drug raid and holding up a gun, will just find a way to sneak, will find a way to enter the space and just walk in and just calmly sit down in front of the people.
Oh my God.
The people in there.
Yeah.
And he'll just be like, and Emma's heard this and Matt's heard this, and then the people are just like confused, but not fully, they're startled, but not like alarmed.
Because
mm-hmm. normally like they'd run away if it was like, if a gun was being held to their, you know, like pointed in the direction, but they're just like startled and they're confused. Like, who is this person? And then after like a moment, this agent just is like, come with me. And everyone's like, okay.
The power that
and
has.
And then he arrests
the
them.
International implications that it has.
The clarity that it has.
The access that it has.
All of it. So,
I know, you know what? I'm sure there's a great deal of privilege to this, you know, method.
Yeah, of course.
But like, that rules.
Like,
but to be able to get to the place where I'm like, you know what? I'm going and I don't care what anyone else does or says, that is tough. You know what I mean?
Going?
To be the
J-Lo.
To be the J-Lo in that situation.
Yeah.
Is like, this is literally, like, say it's the Oscars. You know what I mean? For example, like, you know,
don't love giving them super a lot of credit, but like Will and Jada boycotting the Oscars that year.
Uh-huh.
They were like the first ones to kind of say, we're not going.
Yeah.
That's the Oscars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and to be able to say, you know what? Actually, I'm going to reject this thing that we've all been cultured to hold up higher than anything else in our film industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like that takes a lot of balls, because you're probably saying, when you do hashtag boycott Oscars or whatever, mm-hmm. you're probably never getting nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like now with the WGA and, like, you know, all the drama that's happening with that. It's like, you know, it's a lot to say, like, I'm going to fire my agent.
Yeah.
But you do it because, yeah. like, mm-hmm. That's what's right.
Union,
and,
baby.
And you stay with your union or whatever. But it's hard to often do the right thing in the face of society being like, well, it's this way.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Tale as old as time, I guess.
Tale as old as time. And the way that what society is saying is this way is you get abs.
Yeah.
We'll care.
You can get away with anything.
Anyway.
It is psycho.
It's psycho.
It is psychotic. And it must change. And we all have to lose our abs.
Yes. If you have abs,
I'll be the first to lose them.
If you have abs, you are fascist.
It's time to eat bread.
It's time to eat bread.
And by eat bread, I mean ask the question.
Yes. The question we ask everyone, Mo, you know it.
Won't you hear me?
Mo,
yes. Heal us with your answer.
Made you say culture is for me.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Here's my thing. I'm a fucking culture hound. So
yes.
Like,
multiple answers.
Ms. Culture.
I could have a million. I decided to narrow my focus to one specific today.
Okay.
Oh. And you know what? If it doesn't ring true to you, I have others. Now and then.
Now and then.
Now
the
and
movie
then.
Now and Then. The movie now with Christina Ricci as Roberta, with Rosie O'Donnell as Roberta as well. We have Demi Moore. We have Gabby Hoffman.
Gabby Hoffman's in it?
Oh, yeah, babe. We have Melanie Griffith. We have Thora Birch. We have...
90s icons.
Oh, my gosh. We have Rita Wilson. We have the girl that played the young Chrissy, who did not have a career after, but I wish her the best. We have... Who is the other kid? Thora Birch, Christina Ricci... Gabby Hoffman. Yeah, that's four.
I'm going to look it up.
Look up Now and Then. Here's my thing.
Because can you believe I've never seen this movie?
I think you should really see it. It's super dark. Like, oh my gosh. It was just super formative. Like, Devon Sawa, that was like his opening.
Oh, right. He was Mr. 90s heartthrob.
Oh my God, he was so hot in that. And my sister and I used to play Now and Then. But first of all, growing up, I'd always play the boy parts and everything. And so, like,
queer.
When we were playing, thank you, queer. And then we were playing Sailor Moon, like, I'd be Darian. And, like,
yes.
When we were playing Now and Then, I'd be Devon Sawa. And, like, which we would just play Now and Then, which is the movie.
This is amazing, this cast.
This is
Gabby Hoffman, Demi Moore, Christina Ricci, Rosie O'Donnell, Rita Wilson, Thora Birch, Melanie Griffith, Devon Sawa, Rumor Willis, Cloris Leachman, Hank Azaria, Bonnie Hunt, Janine Garofalo. Wow.
Yeah.
Cloris
Brendan
Leachman.
Fraser as an uncredited Vietnam veteran.
Where he told Roberta he got a Purple Heart, and it was this moment. And oh my God. Like, and Roberta had lost her mom, and so they were going through trauma. And then, like, Sam's parents were getting divorced. And it was all about these best friends who were 12 years old in the 70s. And just like going through, like, Roberta would make death jokes, and they're like, it will help you process. And Sam would run away when her parents were fighting. And then, like Chrissy was like becoming a young woman, and like Teenie wanted to be a woman.
So many themes.
It was truly like it packed so much into one damn movie. And then they like did a seance, and my sister and I would do seance after that. Like, and they like contacted Dear Johnny, who was this ghost. Like, you guys, you gotta see it.
That's what I need. And also, I'm kind of like fascinated by Rosie O'Donnell as a concept.
Oh yeah,
like, and who she is and what she does and like what her career has been. I forget that like in the early 90s she was
talk
actress.
Show, oh, she was an actress. She was League of Their Own. She was
League of Their Own, iconic.
Oh yeah, I mean, I just remember her talk show where she'd have a different desk every day, and the Oreo themed one really spoke to me.
She was fucking Harriet the Spy,
Queen of Nice.
Oh, Harriet
Queen
the
of
Spy
Nice,
like, Queen of Nice. She was great.
Yeah,
she like, I mean,
is she a good actress?
Yes.
Yes?
She's her, like, here's my thing. She's a Jennifer Aniston. She's not going to play way outside her range, but what she does fucking well.
Wow. I love that. I love that. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
No, when you're good at it.
Well, here's my thing. It's just that I think we've kind of come to expect everything out of actors now, where it's like you have to be versatile. You have to be a Christian Bale. You have to kill yourself and then come to life again and then rise.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, well, let someone be good at one thing and let that be good and appreciate it.
Yeah.
Wow. I think there's nothing wrong with being a Jennifer Aniston, because Jennifer Aniston knows exactly what
and
Jennifer
she deserves
Aniston
credit
does.
And nobody gives her it or money.
money.
It sucks.
Jennifer Aniston is poor. It's actually Real Culture number 16.
Jennifer Aniston is poor.
She needs our help.
Cake was like a glimmer of a moment for her.
I didn't see Cake, but I heard that she fucking turned the cake.
Or the Good Girl, whatever that one was.
Good Girl, I have seen.
I didn't see that.
Because Good Girl has young, hot Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'm hopeful, hot and full of cum. And full of cum. I'm hopeful that she will have some sort of renaissance.
She has. In Dumplin', she was
Dumplin'. Oh, and she's going to be in this new fucking Apple TV show.
Have you heard about this Apple TV show?
Yes, I have heard about
this. With Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah. Yes.
The trailer for the Apple TV stuff looks really good.
I know, and I have weird feelings about it.
Yeah, I feel real mixed. I'm like, Minority Report, but I'm also like, I love women performing in front of me.
No, I'm excited. I just, I had a little missed opportunity there.
Bowen was cast on a show that, well, you know, we don't want to take we don't want to take it away from the person who's playing the part, so we're not going to say what it is.
We're not going to say what it is.
That would be disrespectful.
But
Bowen almost was on an Apple TV show.
An Apple TV show. And it looks really cool. It looks really fucking cool.
Honestly, it looks very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, that's not mine.
All the shows look really cool. And I'm going to say three shows that look cool, and one of them is the show, because I do want to talk about it.
Yes.
One of them is the show that Bowen is referencing, and two of them are not.
You guys guess.
You know what looks really amazing?
What?
That show
Dickinson.
That show Dickinson. That show Dickinson looks really good. The Haley Steinfeld show.
Oh my gosh. I should have booked that.
Oh, you should have booked it.
Do you know I auditioned for Constance Wu's part in the new J-Lo stripper movie.
Oh,
right. And I was like, why didn't I get it? Oh, okay, yeah. Like,
but you would have been perfect.
You would have been amazing. Wait, what's the J-Lo stripper
movie? You have to play a stripper.
It's about the Scores story where they would drug the guys and then take like $150,000 from them. It's fucking awesome.
I love that.
It's really cool.
What? I don't know about the
story. He's gonna be in it. Constance Wu, J Lo, fucking Julia Stiles is playing the reporter. So fucking good.
Wait. What is the story of this movie?
They would drug these men and they would take their money.
So they were strippers at Scores on the West Side of Manhattan, and they what would happen is these really, really wealthy guys would come in and they would get them really drunk and they would put like ecstasy and all sorts of different things in their drinks.
Holy shit. Then
they would charge up their credit card like with like $150,000 in a night. And the guys would be so embarrassed because they weren't supposed to be there that it was going for like years.
Yes.
And then they got a little bit overzealous and started.
Are they in jail now?
Most of them got a good chunk.
Is this going to be a drama or a comedy?
I think it's going to be a comedy.
I couldn't tell from the script.
Okay.
Because
it's J-Lo and it's Constance Wu.
Yeah.
And it's like
Cardi.
Cardi's in it?
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, Cardi.
I didn't know that.
Cardi, Julia Stiles. To me, what it feels like, at least from like the press, is it looks like it's going to be like an Ocean's 8 situation where you laugh, but you're more empowered.
This is the thing. I love that there's this cultural thing that's happening with scammers where like your Elizabeth Holmes, your Firefests, like your fucking, what's her name? Anna Delvey.
Okay. Yes. Anna Delvey.
Who just like, she was the original. She was just
scammer.
Like, I just like to get Chanel purses.
Well, even like Bling Ring shit. Like Bling Ring was so ahead of its time. Like fucking Alexis Nyers was so ahead of her
time. They robbed Adriana Partridge's house. That was so good.
So funny. Yeah. This is Alexis Nyers calling. What was I going to say? Oh no. So it's interesting that there's this cultural thing that's happening now with like scammers being like, wow, what are the minds of these people?
Uh-huh.
But now also it's like after Ocean's 8, you've got the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels gender flip thing where it's Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
It's called
yes!
The Hustle.
Yes, that looks cute. I'm excited for that.
And then like this stripper movie now, I feel like there's just more like scamming movies maybe that are specifically female led anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, but talk us through Now and Then. Let's go back
what's her name? Dickinson.
Dickinson.
Oh,
Dickinson.
Emily Dickinson.
Yes.
Emily Dickinson.
I'm so sorry. I just know so many Dickinsons.
You do.
Emily Dickinson.
Really smart.
Haley Steinfeld is playing Emily Dickinson and they talk modern, but it's set in period.
Are we talking Sofia Coppola situation? Or are we talking good or bad?
We're talking it looks good.
Oh, great. Good.
Jane Krakowski plays the mom.
Yeah.
What did I just say? Jenna Maroney voices into the mic.
Yeah.
You did say that.
Jane's my girl.
Jane is so good.
She's so good.
Jane Krakowski is an icon.
She's an icon.
I actually think her best comedic moment, like, and there have been so many, but I'll never get over in the pilot of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt when she offers a Fiji water to Kimmy. Kimmy says she doesn't want it, and she just throws it in the garbage.
so funny.
That is such a funny joke.
So yeah. Funny.
Just like opening a fridge and revealing that it's chock full of Fiji water. Do you want one? She says no, and she throws it out.
Away. Throws that it in the garbage.
That character
is a brilliant
choice.
It's so good.
Although the way she throws it out, like no hesitation, just, well, she doesn't want it, so I'm throwing it out.
I still don't know how to feel about the Native American
arc. I know.
I'm going to bravely say.
I think
it's funny.
I think they're very aware. I think like the people on that show were very aware of.
Yes.
The absurdity of it.
I think that's why they chose to go crazy with it. Yeah.
And people like responded the way they were expected to respond. But I think about it and I laugh.
That show is a cartoon. Nothing exists in the world. Like, it's truly, honestly, it's so heightened. I just feel with 30 funny. Rock and with Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the world is so heightened.
And Carol Kane. Yeah.
You just gotta laugh. Come on, people.
I know.
Kimmy, you gotta get in here. It's like, so spooky.
That is my sense of humor. Like when I read, like when I sit down to write, like the stuff that I from my own voice, I feel like it's like everything might as well be a cartoon.
I love that.
I respond to that, and also like the whole like Tina Fey, Robert Carlock like style of just like joke. Even when it's too fucking much.
No, you don't, Oprah.
I feel like
I love it.
I feel like people our age have had just enough distance from 30 Rock now where I watch an episode for the first time in like months or no, not months, like yeah, a year and a half. Yeah. And I was just like, holy shit, this is like for a good, like people still are trying to emulate this voice.
Yeah.
And B, like so funny. C, like the legacy of it is so strong.
I feel like and also Kimmy Schmidt was so fucking brilliant.
Did you see
the episode last year,
the sliding doors one
with TJ DJ Fingerblast, played by Derek Klena, who's a friend of mine actually.
Yes,
and it was a whole like Making a Murderer type documentary episode.
I heard about this.
It was so funny.
They're so good.
It was so fucking funny. Yeah. And truly, almost none of the major characters were even in it.
That's
also,
so
A.D. Bryant, fucking A.D. Bryant is so funny as the John Hamm's like girlfriend.
Oh, and Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes.
Oh my god.
That's great. That's great.
She's like in denial about the fact that like he's got like mole women like girlfriends.
Good. Yeah.
It's just so funny.
I love that.
Everything about Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I love.
So funny.
Unbreakable.
I like when things don't exist on planet Earth.
Totally. I mean, it's Spider-Man. Too many Spider-Man. What is it?
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it.
Oh my god.
So now and then, if they remade it, what's the cast?
Oh my god.
How do we do it?
Oh god. I don't know actors. I'm like, oh, the pretty girl with the boobs.
Well, walk us through the plot, because I'm like,
I'll give you guys other culture, because I feel like I want to enjoy and celebrate something that you guys have experienced as well, either tangentially or actually.
Fine.
You give some culture, and then I want to ask you about something in culture that I think you do respond to.
Okay, I love this. Ready? I'll give a list. All the Harry Potter books.
I mean,
Zoolander, Clueless.
Yeah.
Come on. You are a child of Clueless.
I am a child of Clueless.
You're a child of all those things, actually.
You are Cher Horowitz's cousin.
Thank you so much.
You really are.
Your
eyes fell with tears when I said that.
I did. They really did. Because here's my thing. I have lists that I wrote when I was like, gosh, I want to say six. Like, I have lists that has the entire cast of Clueless, except for none of the men's names, just how they related to the women.
Yes.
And my name. So it's like Cher, Dion, Ty, Morgan, Ty's boyfriend, Dion's man, like what it was Cher's cute half brother in parentheses Josh. and truly that movie, oh my god.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I was thinking about the other day, like even just like from a directorial standpoint, like iconic shots, like in the writer's room we for some reason put on Fancy by Iggy Azalea.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And ridiculous. Just like that it's a good music video, we should say.
Yeah.
And give her that credit.
Sure.
Even though it wasn't probably her
based off
thought of it, probably a director.
Already done movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just like I've thought about like how like the shots are so iconic. Like for example, like them standing up against the fence when they're doing tennis.
Yes.
With their outfits.
Outfits iconic.
Oh my god.
Like just like the costume design, the art direction of it all, like just the direction of it all. Like them with their walk and talk. Yeah. Cher's voiceover walk and talk and the guy coming up and her pushing away and saying as if. Just
so
like
perfect.
Truly everything. There are so almost
even
every
the
single
computer
scene.
Screen with the outfits, like
oh,
even that.
Oh my
like,
god.
Almost
and like her
every
putting
single
the mocha lip on at her vanity. Yes. It's like, oh my god. And then the famous lines that fucking come from, like, yeah, I hope not sporadically.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god.
My bad.
My bad.
Like truly, so many things like
Lucy,
started
where's
with that.
My Fred Siegel? It's like, oh my god.
We're gonna play Suck and Blow.
Oh.
Suck oh, and blow. Blow. Let's play Suck and Blow.
Bolton, it's Suck and Blow, not Suck and Suck.
What an amazing movie.
Wait, what am I going to tell our grandchildren?
Yeah.
I do not wear polyester
oh my
hair.
God. Donald Faison was
not like
so
some girls
good
I know, like Shawana.
Donald Faison was so good in
he
that.
He was so good in that when he's licking his teeth in that one scene when it's shaving his head. I'm like, oh, that shot.
So good.
That's it.
So
I'm calling your mother.
Isn't
R-
it sad
R-
that
Stacey
Dash
Dash's
was
brain.
So good?
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Stacey Dash's brain.
She had one back in the day.
It's so
she had a
sad.
Good one. Well, she like made good choices.
Yeah, she made fantastic choices.
It's sad because she's iconic in that movie, and now you think like, you can't picture them all getting together and getting lunch, right? Because Stacey Dash
well,
is so fucking crazy.
Alicia Silverstone is now like this vegan mama that's
yeah,
like...
She's yeah. vegan mama
yeah,
now.
And
she's
it's just like, mama. That's not Stacey Dash.
That's not
no,
Stacey
they
Dash.
Are, they in fact are diametrically opposed.
Where's Amber at is the real question.
Oh, where the fuck is
she's
Amber
she's doing
at?
Well. I peeped her Instagram like a couple months ago. She seems like she's doing great.
Okay.
Ambular.
So fucking good.
My doctor says I'm not allowed to do any activity where balls fly at my face. Stacey. Well, there goes your social life.
So good. Well, there goes your. Stacey was so good in that line.
She was so.
Too.
I mean, look, she's just good. Also, the line when she comes out of the car, we were both named after famous singers who now do infomercials.
Oh, that
so
writing was
good.
So fucking
so
good.
That, again, that is a big world with joke.
It
joke,
is.
Joke,
you're a virgin who can't drive.
Oh,
that
Brittany.
Was way harsh, Ty.
I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
Let's just
sorry,
talk
whatever.
When we mellow.
Yeah!
I'm outie.
Oh.
So 90s. Oh my God, you guys know what movie Brittany Murphy is so good in?
Uptown Girls.
Uptown Girls, Riding in Cars with Boys.
Oh, amazing in it.
No, this is the thing. This is the thing. Mm-hmm. Brittany Murphy is iconic.
She would iconic. Have won an Oscar.
One day she would have.
Las Vegas, won. The even in the Ashton Kutcher movie, I fucking loved her in
oh,
that.
Oh, I didn't watch that.
She makes it look easy.
She makes it look easy.
Brittany yes. Murphy used to make it look very easy to be that charming and that specific.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, really brought that character of Ty to life. Like, it was she was perfect.
And even, I don't think it's necessarily fair for me to say this, but even she might have been like a Jennifer Aniston, Rosie O'Donnell, where she did
yeah.
one. She didn't play too much outside her range, but no. she did it well.
Remember,
she
Don't nailed. Say a Word?
I'll never tell. What is that?
You don't remember Don't Say a Word with
that
Michael
was,
Douglas?
Yeah,
she
yeah,
played
yeah,
like
yeah.
She played like she was in like a mental facility or
right,
something.
Right,
she
right.
was in Girl Interrupted.
She was in Girl Interrupted.
Oh,
no.
Fantastic.
Okay, never mind.
Interrupted.
Never mind. I take it back.
So good. I
enjoy it.
I have chills. We miss you, Brittany.
We miss you, Brittany.
You're oh. jealous because I was released. And then Angelina Jolie fucking lays into her with the monologue that won her an Oscar. Yeah.
Angelina
right
Jolie, I get chills when I think about. She is my drag mother.
You
she,
are. You are a child of Angelina.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Do you want to know some tea I heard about Angelina Jolie?
Maybe.
Go.
She fucking loves Survivor.
That's great.
And
because
because she goes to Survivor watch parties with all her kids.
That's so fun. Yeah.
I
like
love
that.
Her.
Yeah.
And that they all watch Survivor. Did you know that Survivor is low-key still huge?
Is it still on?
Yes.
It's still
new
on.
Ones?
You can't even believe how thriving it is. My sister wants to be on it.
There's a cultural
that
shift happening with Survivor where it kind of, because I think this happened for The Bachelor too, where mm-hmm. for a while it dipped.
And then
no
came,
one
yeah.
gave a shit, and now it's back.
I'm a
Batchhead.
I'm a Batchhead.
You're Bachelor Nation.
Well, I watched for a few. I started again with Rachel Lindsay.
Right.
Yes.
I loved Rachel Lindsay.
I loved her. And then I thought that was the best season. Shocked. Well, I guess not shocked because the world is literal garbage.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe when I heard that that was like one of the lower rated seasons.
Right.
And then I remembered, oh,
racism.
It's because
people.
Of racism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Despite the fact that her head and shoulders being the best bachelorette.
Oh my
yes,
god, she
yes.
is like I think about her. I'm like, I hope you're happy. I love you so much.
Yes.
Like,
well, you believed that like all these men wanted to fight for her affection.
Oh,
absolutely.
I was like, yes, she is a not a prize, but she's
if
like,
you saw
so-
her on the street, you just like want to talk to her. She has that effervescence. She has that glow where you're just like, hi, I hope you have a great day.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
That's my problem with like the general conceit of those shows where there's one object of affection. I'm like, really? Everyone wants to fall over the fall over themselves to marry.
Yes, baby. You want what you can't have.
But then there's like there's a whole psychological aspect to it too, right? Which is like you cut the people off from society for months, and of course they're gonna think this.
They're gonna like have a cultish mentality around it.
Exactly. But with her, I was like, this season really works because I believe that all these men would truly...
And I'm in love with Rachel. I, as a viewer, am in love with Rachel. Yes.
Exactly. And I agree with her.
Yes.
And everything she did. She had me the whole season until she picked Brian.
Right.
That was... But also, Peter was
Madison,
being...
Wisconsin's own
Thank
Peter.
You. I ran into him in Soho. I did. Okay, ready?
What?
So I did. And I did this. Okay, so sometimes when I get nervous or like overexcited
the
or anything...
comes out.
So bad. or like truly, I am like a child where it's like one drink, excited, nervous, angry, anything. It's just I'm like, what's up, guys? Hey.
Ah!
And so I went, I passed him and he was so handsome and he had that perfect gap tooth. And I was like, hi, so I'm from Madison. And he goes, hi. And he like starts to talk to me. I go, I just want to say you're great. And Tim Platt was with me. Tim. And Tim's a badger head, sweetest man alive, my creative collaborator later. And Tim's watching me and I'm going, okay, so we're gonna go. And then like he looked like he was gonna engage and I was like, and I truly ran away.
Oh, you probably could have gotten a date out of him.
I absolutely could have. I know that for sure.
Oh my god.
I feel confident about
that. Is he as hot in person as he is on the show?
He's taller, he's stronger, he's so handsome. It's crazy.
He's very handsome.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, you come from my people, like you understand like how to eat just like only bread and white foods, you know, like it would have been really nice.
His crying. What that scene where they did you watch that?
I didn't watch it.
The scene where they broke up because they just like hit a wall.
Oh, I did watch that. Yeah.
Like it was so hard to watch because it was like watching him really cry and like her really cry. And then like when it ended up being Brian after watching that whole section of that episode where it was like watching them obviously want to be together and not. I was like, this show, fuck this show.
And coming up against the parameters of the show, being like, he was like, I really would like to date you. I'm actually feeling like really afraid of commitment right now. And then she's like, no, this is the show. Like, I understand. It's almost like she was like, please just like go through these motions. But
he was unwilling
get there.
To play the
game.
Yeah,
he was, which is like unfortunate because you know her. She's a smart woman. She like, she would have figured out something for them. But.
I mean, it's literally, it's like a what are the rules anyway situation. It's like, you get engaged and you don't fucking
you get a Neil Diamond ring and then you just keep it.
Mm. But I think the Madison, Wisconsin jumped out.
Yeah, that's
true. I think the traditionalism jumped out. That's what I think.
Fred, first of all, we should say that is a reference. The jumped out is a reference to another reality show, Charm School, where Monique says to Pumpkin.
Oh my God, I forgot about that. Remember when Pumpkin
Your
spit
behavior
New
less-
York?
Yes.
I iconic. Watched every VH1 show ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like
too,
The
too.
Surreal Life. It? Charm School. Kept. Remember that one where Jerry Hall had all those boys?
Oh, no.
That was a really good one.
Charm School? Charm School?
Charm
school.
Did you watch Charm School?
Mm-hmm. First Charm School.
Your behavior last night was whore-like.
The whore jumped out.
The whore jumped out.
And then it jumped back in.
But it had jumped out.
The whore jumped out. But then jumped back.
Academy Award winner Monique to a human woman said, your behavior last night was whore-like.
The whore jumped out. And then it jumped back in. But then it jumped out. The whore jumped.
Title of that. The whore jumped out.
A whore jumping out. Picture a whore jumping out.
The whore jumped out.
Like a banshee from your spirit. Like, just sucks on a dick.
That is such a satisfying season of television if you watch it back because I think it did succeed in its mission where
also
it was
outfits.
Like
outfits.
The outfits.
We need outfits.
But it succeeded in what its mission was, which is just to like have these women like whatever. Like maybe like it is a little problematic.
Cattiness was the goal. Fights were the goal. Physical fights were the goal.
But it was problematic for them to be like less trash. Like to be
like the Bad Girls Club on Oxygen.
It is a little class gross to be like, we'll make you less trashy.
Uh-huh.
But it was satisfying to watch.
Yeah.
And Safari, who won the whole fucking season, was amazing and she had such a good arc. And she had the best arc because she got eliminated before she even got a name on Flavor of Love season 2. Yeah. Do you remember this?
Yep.
Safari got into a fight.
Safari. Yeah.
With this poor woman. I forget who it was, but they fought over. And then, this woman, they fight over a bed. This woman takes a bouquet of flowers and starts hitting Safari as Safari grabs onto her hair. And then Safari just goes, don't you hit me with flowers? And they fight. And then she gets kicked out. And then at Charm School, Monique does this whole ceremony where she like where she has all the girls step up and reveal their real names, and she like takes away, she divorces the Flava Flav names from their names, and then it gets to Sophia. It's like, Pumpkin, what's your real name? It's this.
It's never gonna be that again.
Yeah, like what, like Red Oyster, what was your real name? It's that Red Oyster.
Oyster.
Hoops, what's your real name?
Hoops, what's your real name? And then they get to Sophia, and Monique goes, Sophia, we're gonna give up that terrible name.
No, I do not remember this. You. No.
So tell me what your real name is. And then Sophia just goes, it's Sophia. Like, I didn't get a name, and so Sophia is my real name. It's beautiful television.
The fact, so fun. Who is fascinating is Monique.
Monique is fascinating.
Going from being one of the stand-up legends, the queens of comedy,
yes,
to Charm School, whatever,
Charm School host,
to honestly, what was Beer Fest? Remember Beer Fest?
Oh.
She was in Beer Fest. Her big line in that movie was, I'm going to break your dick off.
Every boy in my grade would get together and watch that multiple times that year. And I was just like, can you guys hang out?
Yeah.
Like,
hang out.
I saw it in the shitty movie theater in
Original
town.
Original Cock Destroyer Monique.
Original Cock Destroyer Monique.
Dick Russian.
Then Precious.
Precious.
Based on the novel pushed by Sapphire.
Immediately after.
Academy Award winner. In an incredible performance.
Oh, yeah.
And then disgraced and blacklisted by certain sections of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
For shitty reasons.
Well, she's been fully blacklisted by truly Oprah and Tyler Perry.
It's crazy.
Which is psycho. And also Lee Daniels. Like, they still feud. Yeah. Like, remember the whole Steve Harvey thing that just happened?
Yes, yes,
that was
a
whole thing.
Yes, yes.
Did you not know about this?
What happened?
So basically, when Precious was coming out, there was obligations or like assumed obligations on everyone on the cast part to promote it.
Yeah.
So they were in, were invited to Cannes where the film was being shown, and Monique like declined to go to Cannes because she wasn't being paid to do press.
Okay.
So basically she was not willing to play ball with any promotion, and then she wouldn't campaign for herself to win the Oscar because she felt it would be unfair to do it like politics. And she won the Oscar anyway.
That's the most legit thing I've fucking ever heard of.
Right, but Hollywood's a business, and she didn't play ball. And then it was this whole thing with, like, it became very public about how and why she wouldn't play ball. And then it got very ugly.
What was the why? Did we figure that out?
It legit was just about not being paid to do things.
Which
and she was like, I had a family.
Herself.
At the time, she had a BET talk show. I don't know if you remember that.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. But then she ended up losing a lot of it because I think she lost a lot of like industry respect. But really, just based on the whole like thing of like she wouldn't play a ball in the way they wanted her to, and then it became public and ugly, and I don't think she's like necessarily probably an easy person to deal with.
Yeah. Mm.
But, you know, when you're that talented.
That's a groundbreaker. That's someone leaving the party, even though they know someone's not going to follow them.
Pioneer in open relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pioneer not shaving your legs.
Open relationship queen.
And not shaving your legs queen.
Pioneer. Yeah.
And I remember like she was asked about her open relationship by some interviewer. It might have been Diane Sawyer or something.
Uh-huh.
But they like, grilled her about her open relationship. And this was like truly probably like 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago. And I was just like, something about this feels really weird. Like, it's, stop. Leave her alone. Leave it her works alone. For her. And it was this whole thing of like, it kind of was like, remember years ago when Britney Spears said masturbation was secret?
Right.
I mean,
sacred.
And Diane Sawyer was like, it's what? And Britney like went back in her shell and was like, oh, I think I was confused. Sorry. I'm like, see, no, that's why Britney is the way she is now, is because
it's
we fucking
Diane Sawyer
batted down every single impulse she ever had so that she could be good for us. Meanwhile, like, let her say masturbation
her
is
fucking
sacred.
Oh my God.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, we were talking at brunch today. Like, we have to undo a lot of the things that we absorbed. Like, because I would see Anne Heche and I would be like, oh, so you can't like both. Okay, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone was like, she dated Ellen and then she dated a man.
It's
so she's
confusing.
She
we
needs
don't
to
get
die.
It.
We hate this. And I remember watching that being like, sorry, okay.
Yeah.
Like, ugh. Like,
imagine being someone who's like watching that Britney interview and then she shames her for masturbating.
Masturbating! That kid then is not gonna touch themselves. Oh, it's okay. So, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
That kid is not gonna touch
Kids
themselves.
Not gonna touch themselves. They're not gonna know to do that.
I love that you heard yourself say it.
It sucked and I didn't know because I hate being like, well, not like that.
Not like wow.
In my head,
sounds wrong.
In my head, I literally saw you like ride up on a jet ski, turn around, and go the other way. Like, that was the image I saw on. Like,
that
you
was the
running
feeling.
A just keeps turning the water spewing and then you're going
I have to go back bye
wow have you ever ridden a jet ski
no I refuse seems scary.
Jet ski is straight culture.
It is straight culture.
It is. It's like, there's these things that are still so violently dangerous. And people are like, you haven't jumped out of a fucking plane. And you have. But guess what? I don't believe you should have had to.
No.
That was straight culture.
That was straight culture.
It was definitely, me jumping out of that plane was absolutely straight culture.
Yes.
But I am happy that I did it because it feels funny to me now.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Like I don't think I've ever shown you the video.
Have you seen the video?
I've never seen the video either. I don't care to, honestly. You've talked about it
it's
so much.
It's literally me like talking like this.
Stop. That's scary.
You've talked about it so many times that I was there.
Oh, wait. We didn't get to address that we have made out. I didn't get to weigh in on that.
Speaking of straight culture, me and Mo did make out.
Here's the thing. Matt and I, everyone said we had insane chemistry, and we know that because I think we were twins in another life for sure.
Wow. Oh, my God. There's so much to work through.
Yeah. You're a good visual match.
We are.
You guys are very too good.
We take striking photos together.
Long-limbed, good-looking
We've
people.
Been yelling for like 4.5 years,
okay,
our photos.
So you guys are playing detectives. What is going on?
So it was the Reductress.
Pilot presentation.
Oh, yes.
And it was like so funny because it was playing on like, you know, like Horatio in CSI, where he'd take his sunglasses off and be like, it looks like there's another.
Yeah, what's his name? David, whatever. CSI Miami.
Yes, that guy. And so like it was like playing on that where it was just super horny when there's a dead person in front of you.
Yes.
Like straddling the body.
So then like we would be like, should you go take a sample?
Yeah.
And then like then build. And then it was after us, it was Rachel Winitsky and Brandon Scott Jones. And like both of us would do bits where all the two of us would just get too horny and then fall over onto a dead body making out on it.
The tension became too much and we had to go there.
Who was playing the dead body?
The dead body was played by Nicole Silverberg.
Oh my God. So she wasn't, we have to include her.
Yeah, she was there.
Absolutely.
Forever Dog Zone, Nicole Silverberg. Yes. Please listen to Nicole's Grey's Anatomy.
Dog.
But yeah, that we did make out. Now, what did you think of the kiss?
I think it was fantastic.
I had a really good time.
I had a fun afternoon.
Whoa. I'm
horny. I felt like I started to smell bad after a while.
It was hot in there. It was hot and it was like a warm day. It was a summer day.
It was a summer day.
Just a summer day.
And you two, I believe it when people fall in love on set. When you kiss
someone.
That
used to be my dream as a kid.
But there's this thing that happens even now where it's like, it hasn't really happened to me. Oh, no, this happened. This truly happened to me and Brandon Scott Jones. Where we kiss.
Famously in a feature film.
In a feature film. And I was we kissed like for like a dozen times.
Yeah.
Yes. And then.
And you fell in love with him?
And afterwards I was like.
You felt something.
Well, my brain was just like, I would look at him and I left to say bye to him. And I was just like, bye, Brandon. And then I walked away and I was like, oh, but you're in love with him. Like, that is your soul. Like, you were. It was kind of.
No, I did not feel that with
you,
baby.
Say.
No,
yeah.
But like, but
I love
for
you.
A
I did
moment,
not feel that
I
with
have
you.
To tell you something. I didn't fall in love
I
with you.
I didn't fall in love with you.
I
love
fall in love
you.
With you. I love
I'm
you
not
dearly.
In love with you.
No, I'm not in love with you. That's not where
you guys
are
not. You guys are not being honest with your emotions. You guys have to get to the bottom of belief of why you're not attracted to each other.
I have never once fallen in love.
I've seen many popular roulette videos where everybody's making out with everybody. I will say that.
Everyone's making out.
Sudi and I have made out more times than we can ever say.
Oh, that makes me laugh so hard.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Did you resolve the love?
I did. It was just me saying like it was me acknowledging that my brain was playing tricks on me.
That's spooky.
Did you ever tell Brandon Scott Jones that you were in love
with him? I think so. I think I was just like, oh, I get why like
Kate
people,
Winslet and a director fell in love.
There you go. Or it's just that people, like two people who have to kiss constantly for a movie.
Yeah.
Or maybe a play even. Theater even.
I heard that two co-stars hooked up. Do you want to know who the I heard that Evan Rachel Wood and Jimmy Simpson from Westworld hooked up.
Oh, that's
which one's Jimmy Simpson?
He played the young man in black. Like in the when you find out that
oh,
spoiler
he's
alert,
so handsome.
Hot.
I honestly hard as hell for Ed in that.
Ed Harris.
Oh my God.
Ed Harris looks great. Has always looked
the hottest guy.
Snape vibe in that.
The one that plays. Oh, his name is Rodrigo Santoro. He plays one of the robots, but he is like the hot bad cowboy
hot,
boy,
bad robot.
And he fucks Tandy Newton quite a bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. That one is like whoa.
And Tandy Newton, the children have forgotten Tandy Newton.
Oh no, no, no.
Mission Impossible 3.
And then she won an Emmy. And I'm gagged.
The children have remembered.
People have forgotten about Tandy.
Wow, good.
The children have remembered.
The children have remembered.
I think it's time.
It is time.
Oh my gosh, it's time.
I don't think so, honey.
Get out of here, you boys. It's time for Gaga.
They are referencing my song that I sang. Was it at the Oscars?
The 2017 Super Bowl.
Lady Gaga was, you were telling these football players at the Super Bowl to get out of here.
Get out of here, you boys. It's time for Gaga. That's how I felt about every football player being on the field.
That's before halftime.
Like, it was like halfway through act two. I just almost called it act two.
Act two.
I guess, like, the second quarter? It was halfway through act two. And I have nothing yet to do. Do you know what I'm referencing? Diva's Lament from Spamalot.
Mm. Oh, someone tweeted.
Okay. Sara Ramirez. Okay. So I have my I Don't Think So Honey. This is our 1 minute to rail against something in culture that we really do not like.
Yes. Ooh, sorry. Okay, this is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So Honey. He has something.
Yes.
The time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey, the fight or flight response. Oh, what? Oh. So I'm either a coward or I'm violent, bitch. How about talking it out, honey?
Oh.
I Don't Think So Honey, the fight or flight response. Because let me tell you something. I am not going to sit here and pretend that I have two options. I have never once fought or flighted. I have always stayed exactly still and not known what to do in a crisis. And that is not fight or flight. That is freezing, honey.
30 seconds.
I don't think so, honey, the fight or flight response. Because guess what, bitch? No. I feel that you have to sit down and talk through things. And that is not in this equation. Never once have I been
15
attacked
seconds.
By something and thought, oh, I'm going to punch this thing. I wish that were my whole deal. But I'm telling you, if I'm confronted by something, I'm sitting down in
Five
shock
seconds.
And panic. If you're a shark and you come up to me, I die immediately. That's not fighting or flying. That is dying.
And that's 1 minute. Ooh, love that.
I feel that the fight powerful. Or flight response does not apply to me.
It is fight, flight, or freeze. So you are. It is like a new amendment, but you are within that.
Wow.
But
when was the amendment made?
That's what I say. I don't think so, honey. Late amendment, for sure.
Bingo. Mm-hmm.
But there you go, late amendment. And it's not a binary, it's a trinary.
Oh, wow.
That might not be the word.
A trinary?
Trinary.
I don't think that's a
okay.
Thing.
Here we go.
Okay, this is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey, and his time will actually start now.
I Don't Think So Honey, most Broadway audiences. Because you know what? Sue and I went to the theater the other day, looked around. It was What the Constitution Means to Me. Heidi Schreck, phenomenal. Everyone, please go see it. She made some big, big true statements about how the founding document of our country is actively working against marginalized communities, and you could feel the buttholes, the white buttholes, upper middle class buttholes clench in that fucking audience. And you know what I realized?
This is 30 seconds.
This is most Broadway audiences. And picture Sardi's right now.
I can.
Yes.
All of the families in there, probably white. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to like get to this very like reductive level about race, but Broadway audiences, the reason I have had to catch up on a lot of theaters is because I did not grow up in a theater loving family, and most families of color probably didn't have the access to that either. And I'm doing a lot of catch up culturally,
Five.
And I'm happy to do, but I'm realizing that the gatekeepers are white, the people are white, and the gatekeepers are the people who are just sitting in the seats in the first place, and they're displacing other people from seeing theater.
Woo!
And that's 1 minute.
And that's 1 minute. So now it's an economic thing.
It's a class thing that is basically race, but it's just like, it's like most Broadway audiences are these older upper class white people.
The weirdest thing is the Hamilton of it all.
But yeah, because we're shifting to the makers being, you know, more diverse and more people, yet the viewers are still the same.
In fact, it's actually getting even more difficult to buy a ticket to anything.
Mm. Exactly. And it's not this thing that's happening in film or TV.
Yeah.
It's like there's an access block. There's a stage gate that's being there that is not moving, that's pretty fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it really fucking sucks because I never got to see that much theater as a kid growing up, and my parents didn't care for it. I would be like, can we please go to New York and can we please buy these tickets for this Broadway show? And they'd be like, how much is it? Oh, the ones that I want are like 100, and they were like, no, we're not paying that much money to see theater.
Well, that's because it wasn't culturally, it was not told that it was for them.
So there's that. Well, and yes, of course.
Because economically, you could have afforded the tickets.
Not even really.
Not even, for like a justification.
Back then.
That's a lot.
Totally. Back then, it was just
like. Whole family?
The most my parents would spend on me at Christmas would be like $60.
Really?
And so it was just not, I my heart sank when I realized how much Broadway tickets cost, when I wanted to, when I looked into buying tickets to go see fucking Phantom or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Like, I was just, I was like, what, like 11? And then when Wicked came out, I was like, I have to see this. I have to see this on Broadway. And tickets were like $179. And my parents were like, no. And the best thing they could do was drive me to the Gershwin Theater. I would stand outside the doors.
Oh, my heart.
And that was the most I could do.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, my heart.
And listen to the album, I guess.
And listen to the album, of course, and like knew every word. But like, this is the thing that I'm realizing now. And I'm very lucky that I get to see theater and that I get to go to Broadway shows now. But I look around and I'm just like, there's a problem here. And that is... The makeup of the audiences has not changed that much in the last 20 years.
And to be honest with you, if you really think about it, the only reason Hamilton even gets on stage is because Lin-Manuel had been proving himself with so much other work for
long. He did The Public, he did it in The Heights, he was at Ars Nova, he was all over, my God.
You have to imagine, like, what else is out there that's so brilliant? Oh, and honestly, the majority of stuff that's even on Broadway is so aggressively average. I mean, it's, you watch it and you're like, what?
Yes.
Like, it's so, you know...
Like, I'm even seeing, like, Jeremy O'Harris is writing these incredible plays.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even Slave Play was a mostly white audience, which is great. Sure. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was the audience that probably needed to see that.
Yeah.
not needed to, but it's like, I would have also loved, I would have also loved a more, like, I would have also loved to, like, see, like, some kind of texture there to that audience and be like, how is everyone else responding to this?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's my thing with theater right now.
That's real,
Hondo
man.
P? Yeah, anyway. I mean, I've done a similar, I don't think so, honey, about their behavior there. It's like...
Them flip-flops,
you know,
and
like,
shorts.
No, like the unwrapping of candy, the talking, the cell phones.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
It's crazy.
Disrespectful.
Sudi and I sat next to this elderly gentleman who I think his whole thing is that he goes to every show. He sat by himself, but for a solid, I kid you not, 15 minutes was just... going through his jacket, not even pulling stuff out of his jacket, just like folding it and then unfolding it. And it was comical.
Yeah.
And Sudi and I both stared at
it. And it's a thing of like, I think people think because they are so privileged and they have paid so much for the ticket, they can do whatever
the fuck
they want.
But I'm like, you paid so much because like, I'm sorry, these men, these women, these non-binary people have worked their motherfucking asses off
to get on
Broadway.
There.
Crazy.
And your ass is like, I bought this ticket. I'm like, yes, you did, to show respect. Like,
to show respect.
You can't be in an audience and have there not be a cell phone go off. It's psychotic.
It's psychotic.
And then it's these people, and it's also like—
Two went off at fucking what the Constitution means to me.
Yeah, it's psycho. And also like, it really changes the experience. I mean, when you're in a theater and the cell phone goes off, you are not paying attention anymore.
Yeah.
Your mind for that 5, 10, 15 seconds is like, is like, when is that going to get turned off? And you lose what they're saying.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And
it
can change an entire theatrical experience.
Right, right.
People are very, very, very ignorant.
Yes. Okay, that's me.
And now.
Oh my gosh.
Mo. Fry Pasex. I don't think so, honey. Your time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. People holding hands on the motherfucking sidewalk. I'm fucking sorry. We're in New York City. You've seen, okay, we've been watching rom-coms since age 2. A motherfucker's bobbing heads, hundreds of thousands of them. Do you think you have time for Double Up? Okay? We learned how to single file in child's school. Like, real young school. And I'm sorry, if it gets tight, it's tight, and we need a single file, and you can't release hands at that point? Are you gonna lose them? Are you gonna it's not gravity, bitch. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not gonna get away from that person. That person's not gonna go so far away 30. From you that you, oh my God, you can't go so far away from you, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then the energy of like, you're in a crosswalk, right? You're in a crosswalk and it's getting a little smushed, and you're coming towards a couple that has a tight, firm hold on their hands, and it's like, you're gonna need a break. You can see you need a break.
15.
Like Red Rover shit, you know?
Yes.
And they won't, their energy is just like, if we lose hands, it's an assault on our relationship, and we actually don't like each other. And it's like, no, it's not. Let me walk through.
Oh my God,
break your hands. You're gonna stay together or break up, you stupid bitches. I don't give a shit. Walk.
I don't think so, honey.
That's
Mo.
1 minute.
Yes. And there you go. That's 1 minute.
What is that death grip? That rigor mortis.
It's
and also
crazy.
Congratulations on having someone to do it with, honey.
Oh my God. It's just like, I'm like, you know what it is? Hand holding is a tender act. You know, it's a like, sure. If I see, you know, a daughter holding the hand of their elderly mother, yeah, hold that fucking hand. But if you're just some couple and you just need to hold on to hands.
You don't.
Yeah,
you
promise.
Don't.
Promise.
You know
you
what?
Don't.
Get out of here.
Yeah, get the fuck out
get
of here.
Get out of here.
Get the fuck
you boys.
Get out of here, you boys. It's time for Gaga.
It's time for
I woke up, I kid you not, and just like, I was like, what's in my head? And I couldn't identify the song in my head. And I kept playing it out and I realized it was Get Out of Here, You Boys.
You and I were singing it to each other earlier today. Yeah. Not in Matt's presence, but when Matt sang it back, you know what we missed? The separation on
Boys.
Yeah, the Hoys. We forgot.
Boys. I'm going to tell you, it is going to be the song that we end on.
Oh, absolutely.
But first I want to say this has been a glorious episode that touched all parts of the globe.
Yes. A global episode.
This was a global episode.
We are local to each other and global in our thoughts.
Yes. And honey, we touched each other's hearts and minds and funny bones.
Heal me. That's not our song.
Gaga.
Well, that's, we can't end on that.
No.
But Mo, we love you.
I love you.
We cherish you.
With all my whole heart.
We thank you.
I thank you both.
There's a brown recluse right behind you, so we should go.
I'll say, you know what? I'll end when I say, you, two gems, are so dear to my heart. And you know what? You're so dear to so many people's heart. And this podcast, you mother stupid fuckers, is one of the specialest, most wonderful, makes people feel seen, makes people feel heard. And I am so grateful that you two are in my life and you two are so, so special.
And you.
We love you.
I think Mo's going to connect with a lot of people.
You're going to have a connection.
I love my audience.
And now we're going to get out of here with our song that we're going to end on.
Get out of here, you boys. It's time for Gaga.
We were very flat.
So loud and flat.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.